We've got Gemma from Extreme Zero Waste in the studio.
Morena.
Are you sporting clothes from Kahu's Nest again?
Yes, every day.
Does that all you do this specially because you know I'm going to ask? Or?
Yeah, it did pop into my mind. I was like, oh, should I wear my bauble jumper today?
Oh, yeah, remember that one?
Yeah. No, just the jeans today.
Because that one was, I was thinking, how do you wash that?
Never.
Oh, you know, that's it, right. Don't wear it on hot days. So, Extreme Zero Waste, what's happening? Site's closed today.
Yeah.
And we found out why.
Yeah, that was the big crackle bang letting us know the power was out.
Did that give you a surprise?
Yeah, I thought, do you put up with that every day? That's quite unusual.
No. So what happened? We were tuned into our own signal here in the studio because we knew the power was going to be off because thankfully they told us and probably everyone who's got a site at Tuhutawai Road. And so we were just waiting for it to happen, and bang, it suddenly happened.
It sounded terrible.
And it was static, and we were picking up the edge of some other station, which we won't mention the name of. But yeah, so if you heard that, now you completely understand why the site is closed.
Yeah, no power.
No power, yeah.
No power, but come up tomorrow. Open from 12:30.
Okay, all right. So that's the first thing. But the pickup will still be happening?
Yes. Yes, rural collections and business collections around town and street bins, that's all still happening.
Okay, and the normal pickup, the residential pickup, that's not today anyway, is it?
No, so it starts from Tuesday. So that's when we head out to the bays and then head kind of between town Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of Greenslade, Hills Road, outskirts and other side of the bays, so the Lorenz in on Friday.
As Rangatahi continues to grow,
that's
going to force a change on that at some point, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's not your job, really, but...
No, but it's good to keep an eye on that. That's in Wednesdays at the moment. All of the folks in Rangatahi have their collections. Yeah, and it changes throughout the year as well as to, like, how busy those collections are. But for now, quite a few of the houses are still... they're still unoccupied. So it's steadily growing, but it's not unmanageable for now with the Wednesday collection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there lots of batches over there? Can you tell?
It's hard to tell, to be honest. It is, yeah, yeah.
The guys on the trucks will know. They'll know where the batches are because suddenly stuff will appear.
They can tell when people kind of, are there regularly. And, yeah, there's some really nice setups there where people kind of buddy up with their neighbours and they put all of their curbside out together, so it can be a bit harder to tell, like on days like that, you know, when people group together, but that usually makes it easier for the team as well on collections, like if you buddy up next to your neighbour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of the residents who are there are pretty good at doing that, but it's always a funny activity. Like, I've hopped on the track sometimes and it's you always kind of spot a new house each time you go out there.
And the guys had to have a day off the truck a few weeks ago, was when we had the winds and the
And
probably a power cut, I assume.
The winds were so crazy you couldn't even get the doors open without them being ripped off, so if there are days like that, that's when we just like post on the notice board or check on the website, check on Facebook and Instagram. That's when we would be missing curbside collections. But
there was time in the week for them to catch up.
Yeah. And then we usually try and make it out in the afternoon or the next day.
So what is, aside from saying the site is closed today, look out people, what else is happening with Extreme at the moment?
Well, we've moved into September, which is exciting. You can definitely tell spring's arrived. Mm. So with September, there's some a month-long focuses, I guess.
Yes.
Not just here in like Whangaroa, Aotearoa, but across the world. We've got second-hand September.
Okay.
So that was started up by Oxfam 6 years ago now. And so they're like encouraging people to take on the challenge of not buying any new clothes all throughout September.
Yeah.
So it's like having a freeze or like a pause. Just because even 6 years ago, there was starting to be like the amount of textile waste or the amount of textiles and clothing we're consuming is becoming like really unsustainable and excessive.
Is it because it's become so cheap to make that people can buy lots?
Yeah. So the costs have come down for the consumer and it's so accessible, particularly with online shopping.
Yeah.
But like we often don't see all of the costs, you know, of to people or to the environment of producing all of that clothing. But it's crazy. Like if you see online sometimes about areas, particularly like desert areas, they're just mountains that are created from all of the textile waste. They'll be dumped there because they won't have been sold within like a trend cycle. And so often textiles aren't even recycled. They'll just go straight to an authorized or an unauthorized landfill and just be dumped.
Oh, yeah. So when you say waste, it's not like the offcuts. It's actual items that are just...
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, there's offcuts and all of the waste from the factories and
presumably those kind of conditions. There's some toxic kind of waste as well.
Yeah, particularly with any materials that are synthetic. So, like, when you say synthetic, it means anything that includes plastic or, you know, has an element of oil that's been used to produce those clothes. So anything that's nylon or polyester, those are all synthetic clothing. It can be quite toxic, those kind of factories where those products are made. So anyway, secondhand September is a chance to be like, there's lots of pretty terrible things, I guess, about the mass-produced textile industry, but there's heaps of amazing local and ethical brands, but also the best thing to do is just to keep using whatever we already have in our life. So over September, it's a chance to be like, cool, coming into spring.
Yep.
Hopefully I don't need to buy new things, / I could just like check out the care instructions or the labels on my clothing and be like, should they be washed anyway separately? You know, that would make them last longer. Is there any way I could repair any of these? And you don't have to be a skilled sewer to do that. We have lots of repair cafes that are happening every month in town. And we've got lots of skilled people in town who volunteer their time to do that. Or you can donate clothes as well. You know, like if you're not wanting to, if you're wanting to have a spring clean.
Yep.
Yeah.
So are you noticing like an excess of clothes coming through Kahu's Nest as well these days?
All the time. Yeah. So that kind of leads into like Sewtember.
Yes.
Which is similar to secondhand September, I guess. But I think you could check with Sally. You mentioned that Sally is going to come in on Wednesday.
We're going to be talking to Sally Fraser, who's from the council but lives in Raglan. And she seems to be behind Sewtember.
Yeah.
Happening. So this is happening throughout the district, but a lot of it, looking at the list of things, is happening here in Raglan.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to get more of the origins of it. But for now, I think it might just be like a Waikato-specific thing.
Yeah.
But it's really cool because it's again the same ideas of secondhand September being like textile and clothing waste is such a challenge. Waikato District Council have been sharing the stats that it's like 530 tons of just fabric waste, and that's just in our Waikato region that goes to landfill each year. That's a lot. Yeah.
We used to, I don't know, old clothes used to get used as rags. And,
yeah.
And things. I suppose they still end up in landfill anyway, but. It's a bit excessive.
It is excessive. It's like if you think of big elephants. When I say tons, like I don't have too much of a like visualization of that. So I Googled before. I was like, how many elephants? And you imagine it's 100 really big elephants just made up of like your holy socks or your t-shirt that you got a stain on, can get rid of, or like a cheap outfit that you wore once and then chucked in the bin. So like 100 elephants worth of textile waste just in Waikato going to landfill. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, you know, my daughter Jordan was working at Kahu's Nest last year, and she got very annoyed with me when I went and bought anything from like Kmart. She said, that stuff won't last, Dad. Those clothes will like fall apart really quickly.
Have they fallen apart?
Well, I'm very careful with my clothes.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, they do. Like it's a t-shirt will lose its shape around the neck really quickly from a place like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So, but the stuff is cheap, and that's, well, I'm just trying to make an excuse for myself. That's what's driving this, isn't it? Is that the clothing is so cheap and accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so secondhand September, Oxfam's idea. Just go easy for a month, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. hang out and spend some time out in the sun now. It's so beautiful coming into spring. I mean, it's really rainy, but like...
Yesterday was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The day before and the night, the night before was a little different.
Yeah, instead of heading to Kmart this September. And then equally, like if you do have stuff, I mean, it sounds boring. I could like cleared out my sock drawer in the weekend and I had ones that like had really big holes in them. And I was like, I can't fix this. I can't darn these.
Do you know how to darn a sock?
If it has a little hole, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like a grandma. That's like nanotech, isn't it?
Yeah.
Grandma. Yeah. Only old people who remember how to do that usually.
Yeah, so I'm not here advocating that everyone needs to be darning their socks tonight because later in the month we've got a Sewtember event where we're going to be making lots and lots of door snakes.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to try sew as many as we can. And socks are such a great thing to, like, stuff into those, particularly if, like, I had some woolen ones, but, like, they've just got holes in them that are so big. And, like, that's a really good thing to stuff into a door snake to provide insulation.
So when you're making a door snake, for goodness sakes, don't go and buy the innards. Yeah. Don't go and buy anything to put inside it. There's plenty of stuff.
Yeah, we want your woolen socks with holes in them.
I thought you were going to say you were going to make them out of socks, fill two socks up with stuff and sew them together. You've got a door snake. So the socks aren't straight.
No, and then they would have the holes in them. Nah, so we'll sew the templates and then just stuff them.
Yeah, there's a bit. We'll stop thinking on the spot. That's not really working well.
No.
Yeah. And also, like, it is spring coming up, so people might be thinking about their gardens. Mm-hmm. And you guys have got food for gardens.
Yes, we have the best food. We have the best local quality food.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of worm castings that are in Kahu's Nest at the moment. So those are a really good thing to like scatter around your pot plants or around your garden.
Are they in a bag?
Yeah, it's a 5 kg bag.
Oh yeah.
They're all dried, and so then you just scatter around, and they provide really good nutrients.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of alternative to like a liquid fertilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably smells slightly better.
Yeah, yeah, made from happy worms. not free range, they are in there. But they're happy worms, they're fed well.
They're fed well, yes. Yeah.
And then we've got lots of the bagged products as well, which is available all the time in at Kahu's Nest. Yeah. So there's the superfood compost, which again is like really concentrated. So you want to just scatter that around your garden. You don't want to plant stuff directly into it. It would fry your plants.
Okay, too much, too strong. Yeah.
I was asking Liz about that, and she was like, it's one of those things where it's like too much of a good thing.
It's like just eating vitamin C only because it's healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
For a human.
Yeah, yeah. And too much of that
isn't
good for you or your garden.
Yeah.
So really good if you have good soil, but you just want to kind of like reinvigorate it a bit.
Yeah.
To dig that in across it. Or there's the garden mix, which you can just plant directly into. So that gets pretty popular this time of year for planting seedlings and getting all of your spring planting underway.
Yeah. And you sell stuff by the bag, but also by the trailer load?
Yeah. Yeah, so
What would you want from the trailer load? Like, you wouldn't want worm castings by the trailer load. We're doing a whole farm.
I would like to see that, Dave.
be a good sale.
Yeah, our worms are not quite that productive yet. We haven't upscaled.
Yeah.
There is garden mix that you can get, or the compost mixes. Yeah. Into a trailer load, or if you've got an open back ute, then we can just do scoops straight into the back of that. And that's Tuesday to Thursday when the organics yard is open for those bulk scoops.
Do you just turn up with your trailer? You don't need to call ahead or anything?
You can just turn up with your trailer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just within open hours. And if you do want to call in advance, you can let the team know. But, they'll be there. You just pull up to Kahu's Nest and then pay there and then loop around to the organics yard.
Yeah, so that's the thing I discovered because I took some green waste up the other day. You go up and see the guys up by the dump station first.
Yeah.
and then get told what to do, where to go, who to pay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's standard most of the time coming up to site. Just pull up to the yard and then like the yard staff will let you know. And then you do the loop-de-loop and go visit the lovely organics yard. Yeah. And it's, yeah, Tuesday to Thursday for now with those trailer loads or bulk scoops. But yeah, if you really want it and you can't make those times, we do deliveries on a Monday as well. So we can do deliveries.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're too busy or you just can't get a trailer together or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And best to call the office for that. And then you just can get all the details and order that.
What's the office phone number? Do you know, Gemma, off the top of your head? 825-6509.
I'll trust you on that one.
I think it's right. Now I'm worried. I'm going to have to look it up. I have another question for you.
Yes.
You're the comms person. You're in charge of messaging and doing the messaging. What's the message that you're like, I really need to get this across to people? Like, what's, when I say that, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Wash and squash your recyclables that can be recycled.
Okay.
So when you say that, I imagine like I just have a visual of the plastics that turn up into our processing shed. So whenever you have any recyclables and you put them in one of the street bins for recycling, you know, we have ones for landfill and one for recycling. So if they go into one of the recycling bins, they come back to the processing shed, which is that big, big building across from Kahu's
The
Nest.
New one, yeah.
Yeah, and the same with if you put anything in your curbside recycling bin, that gets collected by the crew and then it comes up to the processing shed. And then the same for rural collections as well, if you're in Tēku or Te Mata, that gets collected in one of our trucks from those depots and it comes back to the processing shed. So that's where all of the recycling comes back to. And then it's our team, you know, we have great machinery that helps us sort and process that, but it's our team who are processing all of our town's recycling, and some of it is so gross. It's so gross. Like, we don't want to see all of your peanut butter still in your jar, you know? Like, we don't want to see Marmite still in your jar. We don't want chocolate, like, still on your in your plastics. Like, washing your recycling before it makes it to site is, like, we can all just get so much better at doing that because it's just so gross when it gets back to the recycling processing shed.
And I think the thing that people need to remember is that people, some people are probably like, oh, why can't you guys wash it? But what's going on here is whether the plastic can be sold, whether it's a viable commercial product to sell.
Mm.
And for people who don't understand, Extreme Zero Waste is a non-profit organization. So there's no one at the top making money, extra money, because you washed your plastics.
Yeah.
Right, the entity that makes the money is our community.
Yeah,
out of those plastics.
Yeah,
and there was a time a few years ago where China was like, it just said to the whole world, it said, "That's it, we're not accepting your dirty plastic to recycle anymore."
Yeah.
The rest of the world, you stuff you know, you're just sending us all your rubbish, and it's so dirty and it's impossible to work with. But that didn't include places like the recycling coming out of Raglan and Extreme Waste and other. I think other little community recyclers around the country, where there's most of the community's on board with the message.
Yeah. Yeah. So for a long time, we have only accepted number 1, 2, or 5s.
Yeah.
So that's what you call the grade or the type of plastic. Because there's different ingredients that go into making different plastics, which gives them different properties. And it's just, those number 1, 2, and 5s, which we were only accepting for a long time, but that was part of when that ban came from China. There was just such a mixed variety of plastics that were coming, and lots of them, they couldn't actually be recycled into anything else.
I guess the world was still treating the recyclables like they treat rubbish.
Yeah.
And it's a resource that needs to be taken care of. I think that's
that's a helpful way to frame it, because it's also what happens in our processing room is that It's very specific about what the different like colours or the different grades of plastic, or then the glass as well gets sorted into different colours, you know, and those things all go to different places. It's not like there's one magic recycling shop for everything recyclable.
So the green stuff has got to go where the green stuff goes, because it's all got the same coloured dye in it, I guess.
And so that is just a helpful reminder when you just said before that if you put it in a bin, you think it'll get washed somewhere. Nowhere in our processing room or at the factories, like the recycling factories where we then send all of the sorted products to, nowhere in there is there a magic washing machine. There's not anything that sterilizes them, you know, like there's nothing to remove any of the food or the dirt or anything from those products. So that's why we're reliant on it coming into the processing room clean, because otherwise it's our team sorting out the materials, and there's such big volumes, like we don't.
So if it is really dirty, do you just chuck it out?
Yeah, so it goes into landfill. Yeah, so that's what you call again wish cycling. Like if you're putting something that's dirty into the bin, we don't have there's no way to then wash and like process all of that, so it goes into landfill, which is pretty stink because there's so much energy and stuff that's gone into making that product that it's just like not honoring, you know, everything that has gone into making that glass bottle or that aluminium can or that plastic bottle. So yeah, recycling is like lower on the waste hierarchy, but it's still really important to do it properly. And the best way to do that properly is to like clean things well and then put them in.
Well, if you're not cleaning it, you're not recycling.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would actually would make, like, if no one cleaned, if every piece of plastic was dirty and couldn't be recycled, well, that would kill Extreme, and that would kill all the work for all the people who work at Extreme as well.
Yeah.
So,
So,
or at least a significant part of it.
Yeah. We want your quality recycling. We just want you to finish your peanut butter before you give us your jars, please.
All right, folks, we have been talking to Gemma from Extreme Zero Waste, and the phone number I've just confirmed is 825-6509 for the office.
Yes.
And that's if you want to get a delivery of garden mix.
Yes, yes.
I nearly said garden waste.
No, if you want any of the compost products, Superfood or Carbon Compost for a delivery on Monday.
But you can pick up people's garden waste too, skips or things like that, or wheelie bins?
Wheelie bins, so again, hop onto the website, Extreme Zero Waste, and then there's the services tab, and under that there's all the info on the garden waste collection. So it's like a 240-litre wheelie bin, and it gets collected bi-weekly. So you can pop all your lawn clippings, you can do that for a 6-month or like a 12-month basis.
Okay. Yep. All right, Gemma, thanks for coming in.